Well, it's a dynamic duo, we'll be back again. Nothing back with DJ, you better pack it in. You're lacking sense, trying to tangle with us. Go with the big black bullies in the back of the bus. Just smacking you up, and stealing your lunch money. You're such a buddy, you're feeling just a touch. Only by the end of the day, that's understandable. What can I say, you got strong man to be.
Gary has absolutely no idea what has happened to it. Still doesn't know.
Yeah, it's just, it restarts the room, won't it?
Yep.
Alrighty then. Let's make sure
restarted the room just like Utah should start jingles. Is this what I'm supposed to be taking from your title of the Zencaster session?
No. Someone asked him in a press conference this afternoon whether, you know, how they're coping without Mike Conley, and he's, you know, in his typical jingle straight face. He said, "Oh, I went straight up to the coaches and said, 2 from 2, I demand to start all the time." And then, like, that little beat, and then went, "Yeah, got fucking nothing." Oh, dear.
There will be American fucking media who just run with that.
Just run it straight.
Eagles demands to start. I don't understand anything.
He still performed, like, raw stats. Like, I realize raw stats
isn't
everything.
He was good today.
But raw stats, he's still outperforming Paul George, which is insane.
Paul George was good today. Fair enough. He was well, in the bits where the Clippers were good, Paul George was good.
The problem is, right, if you get a white hot performance like that out of Reggie Jackson and don't capitalize on
Mr. October,
then I don't know. It just the Jazz are really good. I think everyone thought that we would get
it's weird. They won more than 50 games in a 70-odd game season. It's weird. They're good. Who knew? Apart from maths and everybody who watched them.
Yeah, but if you had skepticism rankings, right, for regular season to postseason translation, like the Bucks are obviously number one and probably always will be number one, but the Jazz would have been a close number two, I think.
And the Suns would have been. Well, the fact that the West is currently going chalk has got to be the least expected outcome.
Yeah, like the least expected chalk ever.
The number one seed is comfortably 2 games ahead. The number 2 seed is comfortably 2 games ahead in the 2-3 series. It's exactly what you'd expect. Nothing to see here, folks. Please move along.
Yeah, it's straight. I really wanted the Bucks to lose today just to see whether they would fire Bud in the middle of a final series.
No, they're not going to do that. It's because you secretly want Brooklyn to win, because I don't know why.
Well, I do like Steve Nash quite a bit.
What do you think Steve Nash has to do with any of this?
Oh, come on. That's ridiculous. He has quite a bit to do with it.
Yes, he holds Mike D'Antoni's board for him when Mike is drawing
okay,
the plays.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll see next year when Mike D'Antoni's coaching your side.
How is he going to coach Italy? Oh, sorry, I've already moved on to the next exciting thing, which, of course, is the Euros, which is starting tonight.
I'm only in it for the Euros for David Squire's cartoons. That's all I'm interested in.
If David Squire's cartooned about basketball, I'd actually be interested in it. But, of course, like most people, because Steph and LeBron are out of it, I've stopped paying attention.
Oh, God. All right, fucking Ethan Sherwood Strauss.
I think the ratings are actually pretty good because this new generation of kids. See, the ratings for Life Sport have picked up a bit, I think. Not that this sort of shit matters, but winds up people like Ethan Sherwood Strauss. The ratings for the Indy 500 were the best they've been in about 5 years since... Like, the ratings peak they ever had was the 2016 race, which was the 100th event. It was like a huge, huge thing. And they had ratings as good as the 2016 event. So, clearly, Life Sport is having a little bit of a comeback. I think just seeing people in front of a crowd, there's just such a – it's much more of a – like, watching today that Utah game where it was effectively a full house.
Yeah.
And they were all in the shirts, and there was that wonderful color gradient of them all in the promotional shirts doing the widest imaginable chants. Like, you know, chanting overrated at Paul George. Why do that when mediocre is just the same number of syllables? I suppose insufferably self-aggrandizing doesn't really fit the meter.
We could talk
insufferably about... Insufferably self-aggrandizing. Doesn't really work, does it?
Did you see that they stopped the Nets doing the 10-second countdown clock on Giannis when he was playing in the Nets stadium? Like, don't be mean. Don't do that. might hurt his feelings.
What?
You know how he's had two or three 10-second...
I've been on holiday for the past week and I've watched fuck all basketball. I'm certainly not as deep in the weeds. Pretend I'm like a listener to this podcast and I'm nowhere near as into the weeds as you are.
So when...
Explain to me this with actual context so I understand and can get your inevitable punchline.
So in the first round series...
Yes.
Foster called Giannis for 10 seconds.
Who, Peter Foster, the famous on the run con man? Or
Ref Foster. I don't know. You know, there's Foster and Tony Brothers. They seem to be
The guy who was...
The one that Chris...
Who was Donahue's best mate. Donahue used to call like 100 times a week. He called more than his own family. But yet we're expected to believe that Scott Foster is completely above board and nothing sus.
I think Chris Paul's got a 15-0 finals record when he refs.
He had an 0-15 record. I thought Chris Paul...
0-15, yeah, sorry, the other way around. Anyway, so he called him for a 10-second free throw violation. So when the Bucks played their first round, you know, for the first couple of games... At the Nets, every time he took free throws, the Nets had put a 10-second clock up on the Jumbotron. And then, yes, no, you can't do that. That's not very nice.
Why not?
I'm pretty sure his skin is thick enough to take that. Like, I'm pretty sure the dude knows that he needs to shoot free throws better.
Well, Lebatard showed, put up an interesting poll, which was, if you had to have somebody shooting free throws for your life, would it be Giannis or Ben Simmons? And I think you might as well be starting to sing My Way and you know, getting your affairs in order. Because, thanks for coming.
How would you get Simmons to shoot them? Like, he deliberately avoids it. Like, that's just...
He's like the anti Trae Young, because Trae Young's out here committing what I really appreciate by Marty Jones referring to as an insurance fraud. They kind of wobble into the lane and throw yourself like an Argentine, a striker on the deck because you've been mildly inconvenienced. The only reason I would call it the James Harden, but James Harden isn't actually in a position to do any of that because he's got a sore bum.
It's funny though how they are. It's not very funny. Like, it's completely...
Nothing's funny. In fact, this is the most of Trae Young I've seen at any stage of his career, and I've decided I really don't like him. I'd like him to fuck off.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Because he played the game like the worst of James Harden, as I just said. He does that bullshit ISO playing for three free throws crap that nobody likes to watch. And James Harden, to his credit, has gotten away with that. Now he's playing. Now he doesn't have to be the only game in town. Now he's got guys around him who he can, you know, be a point guard for.
The funny thing is with both of those guys is that...
Also, his hair looks like somebody dropped a lollipop on the floor and rolled it in lint.
The thing with both of those guys is that they seem to play basketball with an almost like puzzle solving sort of attitude. It's like, well, what's the best way to get points? Like, well, what's the easiest way to get points? And they do, you know, completely divorce it of any context or any sort of feeling. It's just like, well, what's the easiest way to get points?
I wouldn't call that puzzle solving. I'd call that being an actuary. I would call it just being a fucking tax accountant. There's no joy in this game. It's just accrue points. Yep. And anybody who celebrates or enjoys that should probably stop watching sport, because what you're really interested in is fucking maths and actuarial tables, statistics and accountancy.
I think the thing that saves Trae is he's quite happy to lean into being the villain and playing that side of it.
Well, yes, when he's playing against the Knicks, who are terrible.
Yeah. But it's...
Everybody, you thought we were the Australasia's leading Knicks... Even Australasia's leading Knicks positive basketball podcast has to tap out at some stage.
Well, I don't know if we... I don't know if we talked about this last time, but I was listening to one of the pods where they just said, why does Tibbs watch film? Just chill out, man. You don't change anything. You still do exactly the same things every time. So what?
He just wants to make sure that what he does isn't going to work against him either.
But isn't it a little bit like tax fraud, where it's up to the NBA to like legislate that bullshit out of the system?
I think it's more like workers' compo. That's the way I see it. It's not tax fraud. It's workers' compo.
Okay, explain.
Because he's faking an injury and getting personal benefit from it.
Yeah, I guess so. I just think that the NBA could legislate that shit out pretty easily if they wanted to. No, you don't think so?
How are you going to legislate that out?
Well, if they made contact on the perimeter the same as contact inside, like, you can literally kill someone inside the paint, you know, if Embiid got ref like Trae Young, he'd shoot 60 free throws a game.
But they're not going to do that because then people are just going to fucking dump truck Steph Curry out on the perimeter, and then all the kids who like Steph Curry are going to be sad.
Yeah.
All the family-friendly stuff is off all of a sudden.
It's pretty... Obviously, you haven't watched very much, but it has been a really interesting playoff for that next generation.
That's all that's left at this stage. I mean, where's the previous generation?
Yeah, did you see that...
Chris Paul?
That amazing stat where the two teams that make the finals have not won a championship since like 1982 or something, and there's a whole heap of them that have never won a championship. Like, we are going to get two teams in the finals that are new and interesting, and not the fucking Lakers or not the Warriors or not the Celtics.
So not the teams that people actually like.
Well, I don't agree with that. I think that's just lazy fucking bullshit. But anyway,
Being able to count is lazy bullshit?
No, it's just...
I mean, it's a fact that these teams are the most popular teams in the fucking... I mean, they have the most supporters. They have the most people who watch them.
Because of population.
That's no, because Lakers and...
Hello. Fans just yeah, we're going to do you a favour and leave out a whole stretch of absolute bullshit that went on here where our wonderful pod host decided to have a completely pointless and... entirely bad faith argument about some bullshit about, you know, whether it's important to have legacy teams that are popular or in terms of whether that's important to ratings, and it's just who cares, fuck, we're gonna fast forward the next bit because it's just a fucking tedious, I don't even know what the fuck they were on about, but I think it's just that Bezo really likes this season because his team's playing well and Doc doesn't because his team isn't. So.
God, are you not still listening to that fucking guy? Really? You're going to start quoting ringer shit at me. I am literally going to walk.
Oh, who cares? Fucking wind it up.
That's your take, that's fine. I don't agree. I think fucking watching good basketball. It's not my take, it's my counter take to your terrible take that bad basketball devoid of stars is good.
But this is where you're fucking talking out of your ass off.
Fuck, are they still going? Jesus. Wind it up, boys. Stay off the double IPA. No, that's enough of that. There we go.
All right. Shall we talk about the Euros? That might be
no,
less
you don't know anything about football. What the fuck are you going to say about the Euros?
I don't know anything about basketball either, evidently. So. And we've already had our one podcast a year where I talk about touch, so.
It's one podcast a year?
I don't think there is any riding hills off bikes this year. I don't think there.
Well, we can talk about the real story in sport this week, which is Queensland's fantastic performance in the Origin series. Do you want to talk about that, Bezo?
I didn't watch the
game.
Have
you tried? You didn't watch it because your team was losing. Well, weird. I can't relate. Have you tried picking like 9 fullbacks? That seemed to work for New South Wales.
The owner of my business rang up and said, how do you reckon we're going to go tonight in the football? And I said, I think I can name one Queensland player. And there was just like this stunned silence on the other end. I'm like, Dally Cherry Evans is still playing, isn't he?
Clean out
like,
your fucking desk, son. You're done. You're done in this town.
And he's like, yes.
Don't you even pretend to like know a little bit just so you can talk to like people in your industry who I imagine are probably people who like the rugby league?
I'm like 3 years removed from that. All the players that I knew have gone... I've got nothing.
I watched some of the highlights of that, and I was being introduced to people in real time. Like, is that what Turbo Tom looks like? Oh, he's quite tall. You know, literally that. Is that Brian Tua?
What was the game like? Was it actually a good game? Or
well, I didn't watch it because I only watched half an hour of highlights.
Yeah,
and even that was enough of fucking Fat Srab and fucking Sturlo. But, I mean... Queensland seemed to get lost in the niggle pretty quickly. They seemed to get, when they got behind, they seemed to get their, you know, the rush of shit to the brain, and they seemed to be really keen to niggle first and ask questions later. And New South Wales just kept running up points on them. In the way that modern NRL is that if you get on top of a team, you can really fucking run up a cricket score on them.
Yeah.
Which is not a particularly good quality of the game as it currently stands. But, your very expensive taxpayer funded marginal seat stadium looked fantastic. I think it cost about three times as much as our plastic box in Dunedin, which is delightful. I don't even know if that actually secured them the seat that they needed up in Thiagaminda or Townsville, whatever the electorate was that they were looking for. But apparently it was at the time the most marginal electorate in federal parliament. And then they had a $273 million stadium built for them. So
Jesus. I did wonder, though, like that's Townsville's first Origin game, right?
That's the first Origin outside of a capital city, I think.
Yeah, like they played in fucking Perth three times or something. Or have they played in Adelaide?
That game was meant to be in Adelaide, I think.
So, like, poor old, like, Townsville's a pretty decent heartland of rugby league and always get a decent crowd. I guess that those are sort of made numbers and you're not getting any new supporters by running it in Townsville. But you think
And also, there's a – if you have it in Townsville, either you're not having a game in Brisbane or you're having two games in Queensland, which is the way they used to run it, whereby whoever held the trophy got the chance to have two games. But now I think it's been a while since they did that, and they do the one, you know, quote unquote neutral venue.
Yeah, who will pay us lots of money?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, New Zealand is definitely the place to take it next because there's massive amounts of Origin fans. I mean, most New Zealand league fans have a state that they kind of align with.
Oh, really? Like it's a bit of a thing.
Massively.
Yeah, right.
But what's the problem is that Origin's becoming less and less relevant because I think less than half of the NRL's, like this is for the first time I heard these stats, but less than half of the NRL's playing population
comes from New South Wales and Queensland.
Is representative for either state. I mean, they might have played, you know, a rugby league game in either state to begin their Australian careers, but they're here to represent Tonga or Fiji or Papua New Guinea or England or wherever else. So it's now at a tipping point. Whereas in the past, it was kind of, at least I think a couple of years ago, it was like 60%.
Well, the interesting thing will be when, and I'm sure this will happen, like this is sort of happening in the NBA at the moment where, you know, a chunk of your top 10 players are not Americans. You know, what happens when you run Origin but the best, like four of the best seven players aren't playing because they're not from Queensland or New South Wales? Like, is it game?
That was the basis of this terrible idea to try and make everybody eligible for Origin somehow, just by, you know, whether they, you know, whether they got off the plane at Kingford Smith or whether they got off the plane at Brisbane International kind of shit. It's like, what are we fucking doing here?
Yeah.
Why not just make, you know, just it's like, oh, no, Origin is losing money in a year where we're trying to negotiate a TV deal. Well, like, why not just do more with that fucking thing you never do anything with, international rugby league?
Yeah,
it's just so much fucking laziness and complacency around that because they've had this Origin cash cow for so long.
Well, there was one year, remember, where like in the Origin week on the weekend, so they'd play Origin on a Wednesday and then they had like Tonga versus Samoa on the Friday night and New Zealand Maori versus someone else on the Saturday night.
Yeah, you know,
so
they sort of filled it out. And they also had the Anzac weekend where they would have the Australia-New Zealand game, but they would have all the island teams would play each other and all that sort of stuff. And I think it was the same weekend there was City Country as well. So they kind of had this little representative week in the kind of the early part of the season.
Mm.
And they haven't done that for a bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's right.
COVID
feels like an excuse. It was City Country, yeah.
Yeah.
But is rugby league sort of geographically centered in one place in New Zealand? Like they couldn't do a North Island versus South Island game at the same time?
They could. It would be heavily weighted in favour of the North Island because the North Island is much more interested. Although there is a pretty good there has been talk about putting a second team into New Zealand, and it's a fair argument as to whether you'd put that in a Wellington or whether you'd put that in a Christchurch, because Christchurch does have a strong rugby league background. So, but yeah, a North versus South thing wouldn't work as a Island of Origin sort of thing.
Yeah.
They have done an Island of Origin as a All Blacks selection trial, like a possibles versus probables, but they did it as North Island versus South Island. Yeah, it was a little bit ropey because there were people who – it was more what province you were representing at the time rather than what province you came from.
And even then,
you know, the province that you signed professionally for isn't necessarily where you're from. Like, you might have moved down to Otago to go to uni, and then the first professional province you play for is Otago. So, you know, and you might be from the fucking Hawke's Bay sort of thing. So,
yeah, and I do, like, even though it seems a bit naff, there's definitely players that feel the passion of playing for their state and feel the sort of history of it and can get up for those games more than anything else.
Well, it depends how much bonding you do with the former Origin legends and that sort of stuff. Well, I was thinking back because when you did your solo pod about how, you know, the tension of the game was actually making you, you know, blow off all the, you know, all your Lakers supporting friends, if such a thing actually could potentially exist. And you being friends with somebody who supports the Lakers just seems completely bizarre. But that it actually drew you to a point where you couldn't actually respond to them. It kind of transcended the ability to be friends with them.
I seriously thought that if I chip back,
somewhere the comic wheel would turn.
Yeah, I was gonna jinx it. And one of them actually said,
which is
to me,
irrational bullshit, and you're married to a fucking epidemiologist.
I know,
so you should know better than this.
I do know better than this.
I might be misrepresenting your other half's profession, but she knows enough about epidemiology to tell you that's fucking bullshit and what the fuck are you doing.
Yes.
But it is interesting to think about, dude, what are the games, this is a child's game played for money, why are we taking this so fucking seriously? And Origin used to be that for me, but largely because I was a New South Welshman living in Queensland surrounded by people who would turn into gorillas in maroon jerseys, foaming at the mouth every and you kind of defensively needed to protect your position as much as anything else. But I think the only thing that is like that for me now is international football. You know, Italy in a penalty shootout sort of territory, or Australia conceding a late penalty in the 06 or something like that. Maybe the Ashes. Anytime New Zealand are in an ICC World Cup final, but that's just because it's like watching a horror movie. You're just waiting to see what goes horribly wrong.
Yeah, it's like an expectation. Like even playing the, you know, we've got a really good foothold in this series, and every time we play well, I get more nervous. I'm like, how are we going to fuck this up? And then I watch the Nets play, and I'm like, oh, great. We've got, you know, the best team we've had in X amount of years, and we're just going to run into an absolute buzzsaw in the finals. Yes. And we're just not, you know, Durant is essentially unguardable by anyone. Like, if Giannis can't guard him.
This is why I thought you'd buy into my Steve Nash is only a figurehead thing, because to genuinely believe Steve Nash is going to coach the team that rips the heart out of your actual basketball team, that would be much more difficult to put my head and wrap my arms around. Yeah, so I'd be like, oh, look, he doesn't do anything. His heart isn't really in it. He doesn't want to hurt the Suns.
Yeah.
He wants to hurt the Suns.
In that particular case, like if we played the Nets and he did some really good tactical things and killed us, I would be just like, fuck that guy. I think I would. And that's that.
But
and that's,
then again,
that's
he's already played for the Lakers, as you know, because you have the jersey.
I know. That is really high quality trolling from my team for doing that. Thanks, Pat. Yes, I don't wear that very often, strangely enough.
I wear it when I need to go bodyboarding because it's actually reasonably tough material and it works quite well for that. We are probably going to delete most of the discussion about Stars because it was incoherent, but how are you feeling about having it? This is the closest to anything of joy that you've had from your basketball team for an incredibly long time.
Yeah.
Is it worth it? Was it worth the last? Because that's the thing you always wonder with sport. Like, are the moments of joy worth all the fucking angst?
It's really enjoyable, but it is really nerve-wracking. Like the bits of the games that I've got to watch live because I've been working from home or something, like, that they've not been in any particular peril in this series. And it's just like, man, is Chris Paul going to hurt his shoulder? You know, is Denver just going to start fucking pulling this out? I can't relax is the answer to the question. I can't relax and really just cheer it on.
It feels like Denver have got at least one back, like the Bucks game today. They're going to get one back, particularly if they're going to be giving Jokic the MVP trophy and all that sort of stuff. So they should be. I genuinely thought the Bucks had fired their best shot in today's game, and the Brooklyn were just going to finish over the top of them. So I think I even tweeted as much from the pod account. But
I seriously think they might have considered firing Bud if he'd lost that game.
On the plane home.
Because he just looks all over the fucking shop. It's like you're running, you're not putting, like, the Nets don't have a great scheme defense, and you're not running through, you're not running them through any fucking actions at all. You're just letting them defend one on one, like, and letting their athleticism and sort of reads work. And it's like, okay, well, they're not too bad at that. Like, you got to fucking run them and run them and run them. Like, you watch the Jazz, run their shit, and it's just like this fucking whirring cog of machine where, you know, there's a screen and then another screen and then a back cut and this guy, like,
three guys come and try and triple Don, and he balls something out to,
and Ingles just walks into a three.
Standing under the fucking net looking like, what the fuck do you want me to do? I'll just dunk this, shall I? Good. Having a good day.
Yeah, like, he might be the worst coach left in the – like, it's actually been a this second round has been a, I guess, look, there's been this sort of narrative going forward that, you know, coaches are probably lessening and lessening more and more in importance. And I think actually the coach has this figurehead, you know, the old school Pat Riley sort of coach is dead.
Well, he's looking pretty embalmed.
Yeah, you still need a tactical coaching staff and someone that can talk to the stars and get them to buy in, because the Nets are not just this ISO team. They actually run some pretty interesting shit, and they even the lineups that they put out seem to have a fair bit of thought into how to beat the opponent in front of them. But Bud seems incapable of looking at the other team and going, oh, well, this is the weakness. Let's run some shit against their weakness. I don't understand it. He's really from the Tibbs school of coaching of, I've got my way of coaching. And
but he ran all that shit during the year. It was like,
that's what's weird.
That was his version of the Tibbs world tour, where he went around pretending to learn from everybody and then went back to what he normally did. It's like, on top of the list of people who won't be lining up for head coaching roles anytime soon, whoever is Bud's assistant coaches.
Yeah.
Because it seems to be he is out on an island and there is nobody there to help him.
Yeah.
Because in every other team you hear about, or maybe not the Suns because you don't, but every other team you hear about, the high-profile assistants who were there to help coordinate the offense or the defense, or they've got specific roles. Your Jason Kidd's, your D'Antoni's, your the ex-Spurs guy as well over there at Brooklyn, don't they?
Yeah, the guy that was the ex-Spurs player and then went in the front office and then became an assistant coach. Umo Adeko or something like that.
They
don't
embarrass themselves by trying to pronounce it.
They've got a million.
None of this is going in the pod. Edit note.
Look, if you're going to chop out bits that shouldn't be in the pod,
this podcast will be 15 minutes long.
It's going to be.
Because all of that argument was fucking unproductive.
It was very unproductive. We were both a bit tetchy to start this podcast off, that's for sure. How are you feeling about potentially getting Jason Kidd as the Portland coach?
I don't want to talk about Portland at all. As soon as that happened and as soon as it looks like Jason Kidd, Chauncey Billups might be all right, because Chauncey Billups definitely wants to be a coach, not because it makes him more famous. I just feel like Jason Kidd just wants to be Jason Kidd.
Yeah, he just wants to be. He just wants to have to be the head guy.
Yeah,
Jason
Kidd's not a good dude. You know, he's got shit in his back catalog. Google it. It's not good.
D'Antoni might be interesting because you guys have lots of offense, and he just, you know, he is good at supercharging an offense. So
it's I don't have any. I didn't think, as I said when I talked to Adam last week. I don't see why Terry Stotts has to pay for the crimes of Neil Olshay, because he just put a shit roster around those two guys, three guys if you count Nurkic, over and over again. Like, what kind of defense? Terry Stotts might not be a good defensive coach. What kind of fucking defense was he supposed to craft with those pieces?
That's right. You got Carmelo Anthony coming and doing help defense. Like, that's never going to end
Ennis fucking
well.
Kanter as your defensive big, getting them boards. What the fuck am I supposed to do here?
and Stotts will probably go to Indiana with a fairly decent cast.
Yeah, I saw that because your man, the Swedish chef, Nate Bjorkren, I don't know why I said he was your man money, because he's a white guy who coaches.
And I'm a white guy who coaches? Is that where he goes?
I don't know. It's been a lot of... I just like calling him the Swedish Chef because his name sounds like something the Swedish Chef says. Nate going to be coaching the Pacers no more. Apparently, I mean, that was just more, you know, guy promoted above his station, thought he had more ideas. Just, you know, he reminded me a little bit of Matt Patricia, the Detroit Lions coach who came in because he came from the Patriots school and he just bossed everyone around and carried on like he was Bill Belichick when in reality he had none of the credit. And in fact, he had been the one who'd presided over one of the worst Patriots defensive performances in the history. They still won, but one of the worst Patriots defensive years in their history.
It's funny because, like, Nick Nurse is known for his, like, obviously he's a brilliant tactical coach, but he's also known for being able to relate and empathize with his players. And it sounds like Bjorken, that was his thing. Like, he alienated every player and everyone in the front office and, like, in a year. It's remarkable. Like, how the fuck do we even do that?
Yeah. They clearly just did not want to play for him, though. Mm. They just were not interested.
Yeah. All right.
Although they did win a game, didn't they?
Yeah, but in the East, like.
They won the 9-10.
Hip, hip, hooray.
Okay. I think I shortchanged the ARU last week. I think I said that only one Australian team had beaten one New Zealand team. It turns out that two New Zealand Australian teams have beaten two New Zealand teams. So the ARU is saved. Blessed be the ARU.
My gym has an Oztag side, and every now and again they ask me to play in this Oztag side, and I make the sign of the devil and you know, reach for the holy water and
yes, give it the Ronnie James DIO,
and they just sort of look at me and go, "What are you talking about?" And I'm like, "It's just a sport for people that don't know how to play touch, and rugby union sort of feels like a sport for people that aren't talented
people
enough
are
to
too
play rugby
fat
league,
and slow, or too inbred, but they've gone to the wrong schools and ended up playing the rugby. Except in this country, where you know, it's the only country where rugby union is actually not specifically played by inbred wankers.
Anyway, that's my feeling about rugby union, which will probably make me very popular in certain circles. But look, if you get to this part of the podcast and you got through the first
what do you mean this
part,
part of the podcast?
Congratulations.
This podcast is 20 minutes long. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Cricket is happening, apparently. I don't know what's happening in it, but apparently cricket is happening.
Did New Zealand, they drew that first game, didn't they? Because England didn't refuse to chase or something.
England just went, look, we're just here for fucking, you know, we're just here for the net session.
Oh, I see they're putting that World Championship game on like a third, like, you know, essentially on the Allen Border Oval of England, which is remarkable because England already has very small fields.
Well, I think they put it down in Southampton because they can self-contain it in Southampton It's got an on-site hotel so they can kind of bubble it.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, that makes more sense.
Todd Carney's going to come in and piss on himself. Rugby league.
Oh, my God. All right, Doc. Let's come back and talk tunes.
Look, I think we need to do one thing, and it's time that we need to break into Ben Simmons' house and steal his Rookie of the Year trophy and give it to Don Mitchell. It turns out that your campaign of many years ago was right. Don Mitchell actually was the Rookie of the Year that year. And I don't think the people are actually going to do that, but they're going to celebrate. I mean, Don Mitchell did celebrate because he got to cook Luke Kennard one-on-one. And Luke Kennard, of course, was somebody else who went higher than him in that draft, which I think is something that he's definitely remembering every time he comes up against Kennard. Turns out that Kennard makes your job easy.
Thank you very much. Do you think
get fucked?
Do you think Luca will end up being
an icon for fat white guys who hate black people? It already is. He may as well be a Boston Celtic.
No. Do you think he'll end up being like a neutral defender, like not a good defender, but just
a defender of neutrals? Like he's really keen on Switzerland.
Yeah, he really keen on the world.
We've got to hit both sides. Actually, the sort of people who say we've got to hit both sides are already big fans of the Dallas Mavericks and their entirely white lineup. Yeah. I mean, I know it's 2021 and basketball's a global game, but Dallas is running the sort of lineups you'd expect from the Celtics in the 70s.
Yeah, except I actually think that's more a function of Nelson.
Mark Cuban being weird.
No, yeah, well, Nelson and Cuban just not really giving Carlisle much fucking to work with.
Carlisle should come over to Portland.
Like he,
build a defense out of this.
He literally almost won a game with fucking playing zone with Boban for 25 minutes. It's like you
to be fair, they just lays Boban down like a log just outside the paint. A bit like the guy who lies down in the wall for the free kicks in modern football. They just put him there.
I like how
no one's going to be able to get around that shit anyway.
How Kawhi climbed him like fucking, you know, Jack and the Beanstalk to get rebounds, just like climbing up
the step ladder, just hacking lumps out of him with a fucking ice axe, like he was scrambling up the north face of the Eiger.
Oh dear! All right. I got tunes thoughts, so I need an old whiskey.
I don't know if any of that's making the podcast, but
should just do it like
this podcast isn't going to be entirely made up of us saying I don't know if any of that's making the podcast.
You should do it like Memento. Do it in reverse. All the good bits are at the end.
Oh yeah, because we start out very cheerful to each other. At the end, we say you're a cunt.
Just run.
The problem is now I have to leave all of it in because otherwise this doesn't work out of context.
Doesn't make any sense. It's like, wow, these guys really don't like each other. All right, I need a whiskey, Doc.
All right.
I'll catch you on the flip side.
Cheers, man.
Gatting has absolutely no idea what has happened to it. Still doesn't know.
Who do you reckon's going to coach the Bucks next year? It's not going to be Bud, yeah?
Jason Kidd.
No.
Welcome back to the place where you thought you belong. Pizza Hut.
Like, they can't even really do D'Antoni because he's probably only got, like, 2 years of coaching left in him. The dude's, like, 69.
It is a coach's market because there's so many good... We didn't even talk about fucking Boston because that's funny as hell. That's so funny.
Well,
Danny Ainge got fucking shifted on.
If they don't hire Chauncey Billups, they're...
No, they can fuck off. We want Chauncey Billups. They can have Jason Kidd.
No, I think they've got to hire a proper socially aware, smart black coach or they're fucked. Those two guys will leave.
And Jason Kidd's black?
No, but he's not really...
He dated Tony Braxton.
He's not really like the,
those I'm, two I'm guys not going to be out here on record being the referee of blackness, but Jason Kidd is black.
Oh yeah, sure, but Jaylen Brown and Tatum are actually socially aware, involved community people like that. Shit,
but they're in Boston and they need to get back in their box. That's pretty much the sentiment that'll come from their bosses.
Well, that's what I mean. If they hire a kid, I think Jaylen Brown will go, well, you can get fucked. Oh.
Who's Brad Stevens going to hire? Who's going to continue his methods?
Yeah.
That's the thing that confuses me the most about the Boston thing is Brad Stevens stays on and gets
promoted.
And not only promoted, but promoted into a position where he gets to dictate, like he's basically director of football. Well, he gets to run the show.
That's going to be the really interesting thing about who gets traded, right? Because certainly he has more knowledge and evaluation. Like if Smart is like traded on day one of the trade market being opening, then you know what Brad Stevens thought of him. Like it's going to be really interesting to see who he just fucks off.
I wouldn't read that much into it because it's more about who's got value than who's necessarily. I mean, Marcus Smart. Is a Boston kind of guy because he's ugly and he plays defense a lot.
That's I was chatting to a Lakers guy at work today.
Oh, you're back on speaking terms with the Lakers guys, are you?
Well, they still want to talk. It's funny how they want to talk to me. But anyway.
No, it's because, like, you know, it might be because, you know, friends, or people who like each other like to support each other when their teams go well.
No.
For most people, this is just a fucking game. It's not, you know, something to cancel your social engagements over.
The thing with the Lakers, right, is if you don't have a good year, it doesn't matter. You're going to have a good year soon. Like, it's not going to be 20 years between...
Yeah,
your last good year and your next good year. I'd also like to point out,
you're not from Phoenix, and I'm not from Portland. We chose these teams. We could have supported the Lakers.
No, we
you could have supported them. You could be You could be the ultimate starfucker. You could be like the 90s kid starfucker. You could be a Bulls fan, a Manchester United fan. You could the Broncos fan, which you already are. You could have followed all the briefly relevant, now completely failed super teams, and you'd be, you know, you'd have the whole collection.
The funny one is like,
give us back Reynolds, you fucking pricks. I'm really angry about that.
Miami would work really well for me. Really, really good food in Miami. Really good music.
It's lots of COVID.
It's warm. It's lots of COVID.
Lots of weird Republicans.
Yeah,
because the Cubans are weirdly Republican because Trump's because the Democrats appeased Castro. They tried They tried to kind of bridge the relationship with Castro, and the Cuban exiles in Miami were like, "Nah, fuck off." So the only place where Trump's vote increased in the second election was Miami, because the old Cubans were like, "Nah, fuck off." I mean, Dan Le Batard was actually really interesting because he was talking about his family's reaction to it. They couldn't, like, he was like massively anti-Trump because he's like, "This is bullshit. This is fucking, you know, obviously there is a racist, homophobic, violent fascist." But you know, members of his family were like, "Nah, but he stood up to the communists."
Yeah, it'll be the coaching. Like, there's a lot of good talent out there that you would want to coach, and no one's going to take a job now because everyone's waiting to see whether you could coach Giannis.
You wouldn't want it too late, though. I mean, there's always the opportunity that you won't actually get a good chance. I mean, the off-season's so long, though, I suppose.
Yeah.
You'd want to be able to get in before the draft.
Like you said, it's coaches market. You got Indiana, you got Boston, you got probably the Bucks, you got Portland.
Well, this might be the start. The Bucks might win 10 in a row and never see it again. And I would genuinely like that. Part of the reason I've been a bit kind of flat with watching basketball has been the Bucks are no show. And I really thought Bud had figured it out. And it's kind of, fucking hell, man. I really don't want Brooklyn to win because it's just what it is it's Roman Abramovich style, spend the money, get the stars, win all the shit. It's just Chelsea and Man City. It's Super League basketball. And fucked. You shouldn't have that in a fucking salary cap sport.
The funny thing with the Nets is not only are there stars except for Harden firing, but
Harden's hamstring is firing, but not in the way he wants.
That they've like rehabilitated Blake Griffin. They stole Bruce Brown from fucking.
But how much of that is people wanting to perform in very niche roles, whereas previously they were asked to carry the entire team? I mean, that's certainly the case for Blake.
True, but
this is the first time he's been able to turn up and be a hero in limited minutes.
Convincing people to play their role, though, is what is really, and this is where I think Nash is actually doing a really good job, is he's got all those non-star players completely buying in and has got more out of them. And if you can do that, then you're unbeatable, because if Durant gets the sort of attention that he does and then the role players step up, what the fuck are you going to do? You've got no chance.
Well, as long as Bruce doesn't step up and do what he did today. Nobody called Bruce should be taking the last shot in any game of consequence. That's just that's not right.
What's the guy on the Clippers that was DMP today? Oh, what's his name?
Scrub. Yes, I thought you like it. The new scientist used to have the last page of their thing used to be like very big on, you know, funny stuff in science, and it was always very punishing, nerdy shit. But they used to have a real focus on nominative determinism, you know, people whose names and jobs lined up. And Scrub was born to be DNPCD. He was born for that job. That's the only job he was ever designed for.
Scrub.
Or being the antagonist in a fucking TLC music video.
Oh, dear.
Now I'm going to have to use that as the outro music. Fuck. This is the sports podcast we forgot to do to start.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Doug. I'll throw this up. I'll talk to you later.
Well, that's expensive whiskey. You shouldn't throw that up.
See ya.